Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we have had quite a week. Nobody will believe what is happening today. That's right. We had a protest on last week in reference to Top Nail, a Korean shop that has a history of attacking black women. You know, I always look at black women as being tough. But anytime you allow these people to come in and attack, well, you go to their place and you're spending your money and you allow them to attack you. Not only do I have a problem with them, I got a problem with you. Here's the thing. Regardless whether you hit them or not, the Korean, they're going to call the police. And the police, whether you're in the right or you're in the wrong, going to take you to jail. This is the history of being a black person. See, a lot of times people don't know the history. They sit around and think everything is peaches and cream. But if a white person was black for one day, most likely they'll end up committing suicide. That's right. Everything you do is checked by this system. You can't even go to the courthouse. You're talking about justice. I have never known justice in this country. I don't even know the definition of justice. What is justice? What does justice look like? And they're so bold with it now that they'll tell you, we don't have to give you justice anymore. And I use that term anymore, but we never had it. I was in Barron County Courthouse, and this little 16-year-old boy told his friends, white kid, that he was going to go inside his house and beat his stepdaddy to death. He was only 16, but he was a big 16. He said that he was going to beat him until he's dead. He told all his friends. His friends thought that he was playing. And he said, I'm on my way in the house right now to beat my stepdaddy to death. And guess what? He went inside that house and beat his stepdaddy to death. To a buddy pup. It wasn't a fight. He ambushed his stepdad. His stepdad was laying on the couch asleep. And he attacked him. And beat him to death. So when it was time for him to go to court, Judge Sterling Sharrock of Barron County told the people in court that prison will do this kid no good, even though it was premeditated white privilege. He told them that he was going to go inside his house, which his stepdaddy was the only one working in the house, and he was going to beat his stepdaddy to death. And he beat him and beat him and beat him until he was dead. When the ambulance came to pick him up, they pronounced him dead at the scene. But when he got to court, Judge Sterling Sharrock and the prosecutor, they was all working together, it came up with this idea that this white kid, prison will not do him any good for murder. That was murder in the first degree, premeditated. Gave him probation. On the same identical day, a black kid, 16 years old, younger than the other guy, and he hit a guy, hit a white guy over the head with a pipe and killed him. The guy he hit happened to be white. The judge gave him life without the possibility of parole. 16 years old. Two 16-year-olds going, being sentenced on the same identical day. And the judge told one kid that prison would do you no good. The black kid had never been in trouble, not a single day in his life, told him that he should go to prison for the rest of his life and not even receive a parole at all. Nobody even talked about this. Most black folks are scared unless it's their child. If it's their child, they're going to fight to the end. But when it's somebody else's child, they have no intention of standing up for that person. That's where I come in. I believe that if it's your child, I have a duty and a right to stand up for that child. So the kid that got life without the possibility of parole, his parents and I sat down, and I brought the ACLU in. Now they got to go back to court for him to be re-sentenced. But here's the problem. These white racist individuals, Trump supporters, here in Barron County, do not want to give him a hearing. They keep stalling. Now, remember when this happened, the boy was only, he was 15 when it happened. He turned 16 before the hearing. And this white racist judge told him that he's going to receive life in prison without the possibility of parole. Two cases on the very same day to show you how this system operates. But I don't really, to me he's 60% of the problem, the judge and the prosecutor. The other 40% have to go to us. Sometimes you have to fight until the end. You have to fight until death do you part. And I believe in that. I believe fighting everything. Everything. I don't care what it is. Because you're dealing with bad people. Bad people do bad things. This country was built. What they did, the bad white folks, they came in and decided to oppress the people here. And it goes on today. Look at the jobs. Look at them. They want to say black people is lazy. You got all the jobs. You got your cousin, your aunt. Everybody working these jobs. Black folks is not in a position to get these jobs. The American way. The American dream. No. You're dealing with a racist society. And Barron County is one of the most racist counties there. But it's been like this a long time. I tell you what, in 2003, if the people here would have listened to me, rather than listen to these old jack-leg preachers, we could have neutralized them. Because they knew I was on to something. That's why they had to come up with all these phony charges. See, and believe me, they're good at coming up with these phony charges. And then here's the kicker part. I can't speak of what other counties do. I can speak about Barron County. The prosecutor made the statement, we don't need evidence. He told the jury this, all white jury, motivated by something other than the truth. You don't need evidence to send Reverend Pinckney to prison. You don't need evidence. Whatever decision you make, it will be final. Well, he thought it was going to be final, but I know how to fight. I know how to deal with these people. You see, it's just that I don't have a real army yet. If I had a real army, I'll show them what we are capable of doing. But anyway, this is the mentality of what we're dealing with. You people out there would always think, this will never happen to me. Yeah, if it happened to me, it could happen to you. And especially if you're a black person in this world today. Get yourself together. When your neighbor is in trouble, that means you're in trouble. When your brother is in trouble, that means that you're in trouble. When your sister is in trouble, that means you're in trouble. Anytime if we have a united front, we can win this thing. Until we get one, we're not. I was on the line with some of the TIs the other day. And one of the guys, I mean, it was, you know, maybe about, I don't know, maybe 20, 25 of them. And we had a real good conversation. And I don't know whether this, I don't know this person. I have no idea who he is. It wasn't my call. It was, you know, I was just on the call. They asked me to be on. And this guy got on there telling people that that they should go out and vote for Trump. I don't know whether he was a T.I. or not. But the guy, when the guy got through talking to him, giving him a tongue lashing, he gave him a tongue lashing for about 15 minutes. Called him every name that was in the book and told him, asking the reason, why would anybody with good sense go out and vote for him? And the guy went on and on and messed up the whole, it really, to me, it messed up the whole call because we was trying to get the TIs more settled in and this. But the guy talked. It was his call, so he had to write the call. But he told this guy that, you know, he said, only an idiot would go out and vote for Trump. But here's what I say in reference to the TIs. I believe that we have an opportunity. We got to do it now, though, to make these people, these elected officials, to do what we ask them to do. That we need a complete investigation on how this started and why is it still going on. Why are you still using this program to put people in? And I'm telling you this, it's at least a million target individuals in this program. I believe it. All over the world. But if we don't stand together on one front, it's going to get worse. On that note, I want to bring in my good friend, and this is one guy who I have so much respect for. I mean, when you talk about the TI world, you're talking about this guy. You know, he's so well knowledgeable. I get excited anytime I have the opportunity to talk to him. To me, there's only one Derek Robertson. Only one. He has proven to be a leader. He has proven to be a stand-up guy with tremendous knowledge and wisdom. And anytime that I'm stunned or anything, I need some answers, I call on Derek Robertson. Derek Robertson, are you there? Talk to me.
Hi, Reverend Pinckney. I'm
How you
here.
Doing, Garrett?
Things are great. Appreciate being here with you today and enjoying your speech earlier. Quite interesting.
Absolutely. And you know, one of the things that I have learned, and I want to keep spreading the word, I'm trying to get a little bit more knowledgeable too about I don't know whether y'all like that title, target individuals or whatever, you know, but it's easier for me to spit out, and that's why I use it, you know. But what I want to talk about today, I got some information during the week, and I don't know whether you have any knowledge about this. They said about Joe Biden living in Delaware, and they have a lot of target individuals there, that he might be willing to listen if we could set up a meeting with his staff. And I don't know whether it's true or false, but it was brought to my attention during the week. And I told him I would do everything in my power to seek. And I know we're not going to have a meeting with him, especially at this time with this pandemic out here. But I'm thinking his staff, that we can find a way to talk to the staff. I was in Washington, D.C. in February, and I got a chance to talk to several different, not only senators, but state reps. And I actually did talk about target individuals, people being targeted by the government, and whether they believe me or not, at least they listen. And just especially by it coming from me, I think it kind of like gave us some kind of toenail in the door. That's how I looked at it. And I talked to state reps, and I also talked to senators, and they was willing to listen. Matter of fact, we was in the office, the state rep and the senator's office. They weren't there, but their staff was there, and I thought that was a big plus for us. And I'm thinking about how ways that we can find to make sure now that I know they know about this, and they can't say they don't know about it. That's where I'm going with this, Derek. I believe that they know enough about this stuff, and they know it's happening. But what is your plan to do something about it? That's my biggest concern. Because I don't think that a person deserves to be targeted by this government for any reason. So on that note, Derek, I know you got something interesting you want to talk about. Talk to me about what you want to talk about rather than what I want to talk about.
Okay. I would like to introduce myself for those that are just hearing about us for the first time. My name is Derek Robinson, and president of a group called People Against Covert Torture and Surveillance International. And our mission is to assist and support targeted individuals worldwide in a variety of ways, mostly through advocacy, raising public awareness, and networking. The issues that we deal with generally are organized stalking, which is stalking and harassment activity by a group who are targeting an individual. And electronic harassment has to do with the use of directed energy weapons or microwave weapons on targeted individuals, similar to those utilized on U.S. diplomats to Cuba and China. Nowadays, we have an umbrella term for all this illegal activity, which was coined by the Office of the United Nations, the United Nations Special Rapporteur on Torture specifically, which they call cyber torture. Cyber is in reference to the field of cybernetics, which studies the interconnection between computers and living organisms, and the application of physical and or psychological coercion amounts to torture. Hence the term cyber torture, which we have been utilizing since we have been interrelating with the United Nations. And today I'd like to speak about, give you guys a few updates of what we have been doing as a community since I was last here in July. On July the 31st, we observed the first World Day Against Electronic Torture. On this occasion, we raised awareness about those being assaulted with microwave weapons or other types of directed energy weapons. And then on August the 29th, for the third year, we observed Targeted Individual Day. And this is the day when we raise awareness about the plight of targeted individuals. Now, one of our members, Liliana DeLuca Connor, is a retiree from a 25-year career with the United Nations and a native Spanish speaker. And one of the issues with this language is that the term targeted individual does not translate directly into Spanish. So Liliana decided to contact the terminologists at the UN and inform them of this. And because the Special Rapporteur on Torture has adopted our cause as a human rights issue, she requested that they come up with an equivalent term for targeted individuals for those who speak Spanish. They said they would, and after consulting with their colleagues between New York City and Geneva, Switzerland, they came up with Victimas de Cyber Tortura, which is victims of cyber torture. And the following press release was sent out by the European Task Force Coalition on Targeted Individual Day on August the 29th. This is the press release. The United Nations Spanish Terminology Section has approved the use of victims of cyber torture for the term targeted individuals. This historical UN definition helps us disseminate information about our situation as victims of cyber torture to the 560 million Spanish-speaking people in the world today and confirms the existence of this crime committed against victims of electromagnetic technologies and weapons, forms of illegal covert surveillance and electronic torture. On the 28th of February 2020, Nils Meltzer, the UN Special Rapporteur on Torture, coined the term cyber torture to define this type of torture in his annual report to the UN Human Rights Council. But it is the first time that we have obtained this denomination in Spanish, where we are openly recognized as victims of this crime against humanity. On Saturday, the 29th of August, 2020, we will use this term internationally for the first time during our annual event, Targeted Individuals Day. And we would appreciate your support to disseminate this term through the social networks, events, any type of materials, and your participation in information activities for this historical day in our fight to vindicate our human rights and fundamental freedoms. And this was sent by Viatech Spain on the 29th of August, 2020. As the press release states, this is historical for our community because we are finally receiving worldwide recognition by the largest human rights organization on the planet, the United Nations, which has established this designation for others to follow. And on August the 28th, episode 2 of PAX International TV was published, which featured attorneys Anne-Marie Anderson in Arizona, Ray Schumann in California, and Denise Rosado in Texas, and also a message from the Phoenix, Arizona TI support group. And we appreciate everyone's participation in this latest episode. We are now in the process of creating a liaison with someone in our community who is affiliated with a very high-profile civil rights activist, someone that you know, Reverend Pinckney. And this project, which could exponentially raise the visibility of our cause very quickly, is still formulating. So I will share more about that venture at our next podcast. Thanks for listening, Reverend Pinckney.
Well, Derek, thank you so much. And what day is that you want everybody? Send me an email, and I'll send it out to my email list. And also that, you know, at least until that day comes, we should at least have an announcement to keep people informed so they don't forget about that day, because I think that's going to be a tremendous day, not only for the TI world, but also for everyone. I think this will give give us the opportunity to circulate it around the world so people can know exactly what's going on and what we need to do. I think that one of the things that I think we miss in the boat, because a lot of times people, they don't want to tell the world that they, maybe they're a target individual or they're a TI. Or, you know, another thing that we do, we keep changing the name from one thing to another. And I think that confuses people. Because when I was on this call during the week last week, this week, well, I guess you could say last week, you know, they was talking, and what they talked about mainly, they was talking about some kind of new weapon that the government is using on people. I really don't know enough to discuss it, but it's something that I need to get more information about. And I want to give it to my TI family in the world so people know and be aware of it. Because what they're doing now, I think they get new weapons. I think that's what they're doing now. They're trying to find something new.
Did they say what this weapon does, Reverend Pinkney?
It takes the place of the microwave. It's some kind of electronic device that they use that they don't have to. It could be in their car. It could be in their coat pocket. It could be carried around wherever they go. And it's a device that can you know, like in your home where they can hit you 3 or 4 times with it through the walls and different things like that. I don't know whether it's reality or not, but the way this guy was talking, he almost sounded like he knew exactly what he was talking about. Also, he also knew what it could do. And I think when I called you on the phone, I had told you a little bit about it. But I don't have a lot of knowledge about it, so I can't really elaborate on it. But I'm going to get more and more information and send it out, email to everybody so people can take a good look at this.
Okay,
know?
Well,
I think it's crucial, Derek, that we get all the information.
Right. Well, after I talked with you the other day, I asked around about this, and the people I had inquired about it had not heard about a new weapon, and I'm wondering if it might be scalar weapons that you might have been hearing about, because that is a very new technology that the perpetrators utilize. That there is really no defense against this type of weaponry. And it's a new type of technology, and they're still exploring what all this weapon can do. It has very, very positive effects, the scale of weaponry does. It can keep you healthy. It can cure all kinds of diseases that people have. It's a very positive development that can really change our society. It can produce energy endlessly. We don't have to pay for gas and electric. We wouldn't have to pay for gasoline to power our cars. Lights to heat our homes and buildings. It's a technology that has endless reserves. And the reason that it's not more profitable in our society is because it would eliminate a lot of these our utilities. And it would change our economy because no one would have to pay their gas and electric bill. You wouldn't have to pay for gas. It's called another name for it is zero point energy, and it's a way that we could tap into our environment at any point in our atmosphere. There is an endless supply of energy. It's a theory, and there are actually some devices that are starting to utilize this new technology. A few of them are starting to make their way into the market. And it could, you know, if mass produced, revolutionize the energy production of our society. So it's slowly becoming more available. And anything that's good, they find a way to weaponize and use against people.
Mm.
And so this is one of the effects that some of us feel that we are experiencing. So it could be some type of scalar technology this guy is talking about, which there are also scalar technologies that are very beneficial that you can utilize, devices you can plug into the wall in your home that produces very beneficial very beneficial frequencies in your home environment that could negate the harmful effects of ambient energy that is all around us, you know, from our computers, our cell phones, from our electrical devices. All of this electrical energy that's in our environment is very harmful to us health-wise. But scalar technologies and scalar energies can neutralize the effects of these of this ambient energy and turn it into something beneficial. And there are some products on the market that can be utilized in this way. So scalar technologies can be very, very beneficial if mass marketed. So it could be either, you know, used for good or bad. But these are some of the devices that we feel are being are utilized against us in harmful ways.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no defense against these types of devices, and that's kind of an issue for us.
Absolutely, absolutely. Hey, thank you so much, Derek. That was good, because next time we talk, I'm going to have more information, and it sounds like exactly what the young man was talking about. But listen, really appreciate you. I want you to have a great day, and
Okay. Thank
you so much for coming on. But let's talk soon.
Okay. Very good.
All right. Take care of yourself. That was my good friend, Derek. He's definitely trying to get this matter resolved. But now I'm going to bring on someone who's also very, very knowledgeable, my good friend, Jeff. He actually knows a lot about this stuff. He know a lot more than I know in reference to this. And I think that he could take us to a whole different level. Let's see what Jeff. My good friend Jeff, are you there?
You press one.
Yes, I'm good.
You're
good, Jeff, right there. Yeah, you're good. I can hear you right now. Talk to me.
Yeah, I saw that in the news. They were calling it LRAD.
LRAD? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's one of the weapons the government has, military, and the intelligence agencies. They're for crowd control. They can use them. They're using them at the border, is what they were saying, against illegals or whatever. They've used them in the military. If you go on Lockheed Martin or Boeing or Raytheon, they all got them on their website. I'm getting hit right now, so I'm got a little pain going on. I get hit every night.
Oh,
and,
wow.
What it does is it messes up your nervous system. But microwave weapons, scalar wave or microwaves that can't be measured, are real low. That's what Aaron Alexis scratched in his shotgun at the Navy shipyard shooting. He was targeted.
Yeah, I remember that. Right.
He's a black
man.
I forgot to tell you, he was honorably discharged from the Navy, and I forgot to tell you that he was an electronics weapons expert. He scratched it into a shotgun because he was being tortured with these weapons. 60 days before he went on that shooting spree, he made a mind control complaint to the Rhode Island Police Department. The reason he was in Rhode Island is he goes to the Navy bases because he was a contractor to the Navy. And he belonged there. And the where he did go on a shooting. They did have a directed energy weapons there. I don't think they were the people using it on him. But they can convince you that somebody's doing it to you, and you'll believe it because they can mess with your brain quite easily. This is the government doing this. You know, my humble opinion, based on research, my grandfather, who I never knew, put up his daughter for adoption because he was head of the IRS in Manhattan, Liberty Street. His name was John Shea. And that was my true grandfather, which my mother never knew. So she was in her 60s. But she found out in her 60s. The IRS is not a government agency. They're the collection agency for the Federal Reserve, which is not a government agency.
Mm-hmm.
And in my opinion, based on congressmen who tried to stop this, the government, Democrats and Republicans, are basically subservient to them, the bankers, central bankers, that is, who create the money. Money's all worthless now. It's not no intrinsic value. Used to be backed by gold and silver. These are the real masters of the country. People like Trump or whatever politician that's in there is subservient to them. That's their real masters, and they do what they say. You know, so they pass the laws to target individuals like us. You can find them in the Wikipedia. You can find them in the Congress. The program that we're on is all documented. It's called Special Access Program. Unacknowledged. There's two types, acknowledged and unacknowledged. And we're on the unacknowledged one. That's why, unfortunately, when you're targeted, the first people you run to are part of it. The police, they'll never admit it because it's special access program, unacknowledged. But there's been police that have been targeted. FBI people like Daryl Soulsby, who's an attorney and was in the FBI. He explained how this works in the letter that goes out to a federal magistrate judge that places you on the program with no habeas corpus and you're never notified. So you not only have to deal with the police stalking you, but you have to deal with the community police or police stalkers like the one I dealt with today. And tried to orchestrate a fight out of nothing, who I've dealt with quite a few times in his black pickup truck with Georgia plates. You know, they'll send these people at you to provoke a fight over nothing, as they did again today. So, you know, you go through the day, and during the day, I call it state-sponsored organized talking, because the state... the DHS fusion centers, they direct it. And some of the people are just civilians that signed up for something like InfraGuard or Citizens Corp or Citizens on Patrol. And some of them are just doing surveillance, keeping an eye on you, the targeted individual, been declared a threat, unknown to you, never notified to you. They won't admit it. Although I've gotten people that are police to admit it because I've known them my whole life. They told me it's a federal program. If they could be prosecuted with a felony, if they ever were found out to have acknowledged it. And then they're going to try to neutralize you, whether it's home entries, they get a key. So if all of a sudden you come home, like I have, and there's water spilling all over the floor, $1,000 worth of plumbing damage, and you call the police and they don't even come down, you know, it's because they know who you are. You're flagged. Sometimes the police will admit to people you're flagged, target individuals. What they mean is you've been placed on the special access program unacknowledged. You've been turned into a target individual of the state, and the numbers of target individuals aren't staying steady. They're going up. And I see more and more and more people on Facebook and on Twitter. And unfortunately, the true rulers of the country are the bankers, the central bankers, and the politicians on both sides have been turned into subservient to them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't go against them. Some presidents have gone against them. John F. Kennedy was one that went against them. And if you go against them, you're going to be taken out. And Cynthia McKinney is another one. Her only crime before they declared her crazy, that's what they'll always say, you're crazy, is she refused to sign the pledge to support Israel. And if you're in the Congress of the United States, you better sign that pledge, because they really rule the country, because they're bankers on Liberty Street, you know, Rothschild, Rockefeller, and all the real rulers who create the fake money, they're in the same tribe with them. They're all in the same tribe. They have a goal. Their goal is world government. And, you know, they're moving very quickly towards that. And you know, they have a depopulation agenda, which they don't hide and make that public. But these weapons, you know, unfortunately, they use no projectile. So you can watch Forensics Files and see how some ordinary citizen was prosecuted and convicted with evidence based on forensics of their ballistics report. These weapons have no ballistics report because they use microwaves and lasers and scalar waves. And what the fellow at the shipyard, Aaron Alexis, scratched on his gun, ELF, that means extremely low frequencies. And when you hit somebody with extremely low frequencies, it really messes up their nervous system, causes a lot of pain, extreme amounts of pain. And they disassociated me once. And what that means is they create enough trauma, pain, continuously. And after 12 days of nonstop high pain, you split and you get out of the pain somehow. Don't ask me. I don't know the full way it works, but in your brain, basically curl up on a fetal position in the bed, and then you go into a place in your brain where you don't even feel the pain. And when that happened to me, I was out of the pain. And when I got off that bed, I emailed the scientist who worked on this technology, Dr. Robert Duncan, and I said, I got out of the pain. I went someplace in my brain, and the pain was gone. And he said, I wouldn't advise staying there. Go back into the pain, because they're going to reprogram that split to something you don't want. And so I did. But normally, like right now, what they do is they hit you, and it cooks your brain, cooks your head, and you get really high. And there's a huge amount of pain in your brain. Feels like someone's got a vice on your brain. Those are directed energy weapons, they call them, directed energy weapons or microwave weapons. And they got you located. What I mean by that is they can chip you easily, believe it or not, easily. They can chip you at the dentist or a doctor. Don't think they won't do it, because they will. And they put it in your TMJ muscle. They always do the right side. They can also locate you simply with your DNA. And they can also locate you with your evoked electrical potentials. That's your electronic brain print that comes off your brain, your head. It takes them 45 minutes. They have to have you in one spot for 45 minutes, and they can capture that. They capture it with a laser. I found that out when I bought Dr. Fred Bell. He worked for NASA. He was from Michigan. They killed him because he disclosed this on television. Within 48 hours of disclosing this technology to Jesse Ventura on television, he was dead. By the exact way that they said they could kill you. His name was Dr. Fred Bell. He worked in NASA since he was 17 years old. I called him up and I bought his book. It was $180. And I was squawking about the price being so high. He said, well, I don't have the volumes to get the price down. But I tell you what, if you buy this book, you'll learn about remote neural monitoring. And remote neural monitoring uses this microwave technology. And they basically have developed the technology to hack the human brain. Sounds unbelievable. And I would have never believed it until I was on it. My mother never believed it. She didn't believe me until they started hitting her with it. You know, and that's how it works. I mean, to tell somebody that this exists without experiencing it, it's pretty hard to believe. Even if you show them all the patents, and there's a ton of them, you know, once you experience it, boom, you believe it like that. But until you experience it, it seems too unbelievable. And most every single target individual say that. Unfortunately, for most target individuals, you're most vulnerable in your first year or two. And that's when they take a big advantage of you, because you don't know what's coming at you. You don't know why all your neighbors have turned on you, all your friends turned on you, even your family members. It's bizarre. It's like the most bizarre thing that you can experience. But, you know, they run it on you every day. You know, you don't get a break. And, you're in pain. And then when you go out to do your business throughout the community, and you got to deal with these organized stalkers, right? And a lot of them will just watch, or just watchers reporting back on their phone. But some of the other ones they're out to provoke you to start a fight so that they can arrest you or they can beat you. You know, that's why I always carry around. They know I carry around because I've had these beatings, you know, that they make a big deal out of nothing. And the people that are going to do them, you know, they signed up for it. You know, some of them used to be hockey players or cage fighters. The guy I dealt with today, big black extended pickup truck and Georgia plates. He made a big deal at the convenience store over nothing. And he gets out of his truck. You know, big white guy. And I thought we had a fight going to start. You know, I was ready to go because I had my finger right on the pepper spray. And I had a six. I got an auto loader right next to me chambered. And plus, I was tortured for the last. I've been tortured for the last 11 years from the direct energy and 20 years from this organized stalking. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't come to an end. So if it's going to be there, it's going to be there. But I'm not going to be beaten again. So
absolutely.
No.
And you shouldn't.
You know, you got
to
try to survive.
Right. Let me tell you this, Jeff. Listen, I got about a couple more minutes with you. Tell us, you know, since you know your stalkers, some of the people that stalk you, how would you suggest other people deal with it?
Boy, that's a tough question. You know, Dr. Robert Duncan wrote a book specifically for that. He asked me to do a review on it, and the name escapes me right now, but when it comes, I'll email it to you. But, you know, by nature, you know, my grandfather on my father's side, you know, we've always had bad tempers. If you're a person who has a person who is, doesn't get angry fast and has a low-key temperament, and you're going to do better. as far as taking this crap.
You
know, if you, no one likes to be victimized. Let's just face it, any ethnicity. And on this program, you're going to be victimized. I mean, just being hit with directed energy weapons is a felony. Being vandalized, they're going to if you're targeted, they're going to vandalize you. You should see my car. It's all hacked up in every car I've had. So they're doing that on purpose. They're doing that to provoke you. And I used to run down to the police station. They just mockery. They don't do anything. And they know what's going on with you. It's part of it. The vandalism, the harassment, the character assassination. They call you a fag everywhere you go. Or, you know, they'll yell it out the window everywhere you go. You know, so if you're a fighter or if you don't want to be victimized, then the program to be assaulted like that by the community, state-sponsored organized stalkers, it's harder, I think, because you're all jacked and you want to get somebody. They basically make you want to kill somebody, which is the purpose of the program. They're trying to create civil unrest. You know, the FBI has designed this program in the authorities because they want to create civil unrest. And they cut the person off from any help. You know, it's rare. It's hard to get help, you know, so because, you know, you go to the police, they don't believe you. And they know what's going on. And you go to your family, they don't believe you because it seems too unbelievable. They send people into a hospital you're paranoid. And you're not paranoid. It's the thing. It's really happening. So.
Yeah. All right, Jeff, thank you so much. Hey, I appreciate that. You know, that was very interesting. I'm glad you described that that weaponry that that we've been talking about. But listen, Jeff, let's talk soon. Because, you know, you're knowledgeable. I know you right now, you're under attack right now. And I know how, you know, once you get under attack, I know how difficult it is. But you know what? You did a great job. But let's talk during the week, okay?
Thanks, Reverend. Thanks for helping us
out. All right, you have a great day now. All right.
Take care.
All right. I will. Let me bring in my good friend from Slidell, Louisiana, the one and only. There's only one. There's only one. There's not two. There's only one. Belinda Parker Brown. There's not two. And it's on Facebook, they say she had a birthday and September the 1st, but I thought her birthday was October the 1st. I had no idea when this young lady's birthday, and I thought I knew everything. But here I'm saying, now I know her birthday is in October. Now, how did she get a birthday in September? So, anyway, is Belinda Parker Brown, is you available? Talk to me.
Well, every day gonna be our birthday, Pastor Pinckney. We got to celebrate every chance we get. You know how it is. There's a lot going on in this world, and you know, and I'm here to tell you, you do know everything, because you are exactly right. My birthday is in October, okay? But Facebook can make it whatever they want to make it. It don't really matter
to
me.
That's right.
You know that's right. And so your birthday is in October too, right?
That's right. Your husband's birthday is in October, and your birthday is in October. I know that.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I see
my grandson, my son. You know, October is the big month for us. But like I said, we ain't put no limitations on a day. Every day is going to be our birthday, Pastor Pinckney, because we got to celebrate every chance we get all this foolishness going on in the world today.
Right. Belinda Parker Brown, they don't hear us, though, do they? Do they hear? It's because they may not be listening to us, because we keep telling them it's going down.
Yes, and you know, Pastor Pinckney, you know, when you said that they did not listen to you way back in 2000, I want to say in 2003, You know, it was, you know, we were really moving and shaking to educate the people, mobilize and organize the people. And what you said is so true. You know, we had them jammed up. You know, it was no reason why, you know, we would have not accomplished our goals to move our community forward, to save our people from all of these atrocities and stuff that's taking place. You know, we were on the winning side, and we're still on the winning side. Don't get me wrong, but we're behind the ball right now because they done took this stuff to a whole nother level. I mean, it's just like blatant in your face. They shooting and killing unarmed people and looking at us and saying, you know, we're going to get a 2-week paid vacation, and what you going to do about it?
That's right. If I kill
you know,
them,
and basically they saying it ain't nothing you can do about it. So when you said, Pastor Pinckney, that we were on the move, moving and shaking, you know, to turn this whole thing around, the people did not listen. They refused, okay, to unite and come together on a strong united front, a force to be reckoned with, okay? They was all about me, myself, and I. You know, look what they doing to me. My little pop-up group over here, that another little pop-up group over there. Everybody separated and divided. And they still doing that foolishness right now. As black people, we better try to. You know, I remember one thing you said, Pastor Pinckney, because I witnessed this for myself. It was at a school board meeting at Benton Harbor High School. And I can hear, you know, I had put my ear to the door. And I could hear them in there. I mean, you know, it was all white people back up in there. Because back then, you know, it was very difficult. It was to, you know, to have any type of real good leadership. But it was some white people in there. We was getting ready to go into this school board meeting. I don't know what was going on, but I could hear them in there scratching and fighting like cats and dogs. And they come out with their shirt all twisted, they tie all backwards and tight around their neck and everything. And they come out and they sit up there, and it was like nothing never happened in the back room.
Yep.
So them white people, I know they was in a fight because everything, all the expressions and everything showed that they was in a fight, scratches and red marks and stuff on them. So when they sat up there, do you know they all was in agreement?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
They all voted one way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like nothing never happened. But with us, you know, and I'm trying to tell you, Pastor Pinckney, because you put the message out there loud and strong that we have to unite. You kept on saying it. You was like, unite, we must unite. You know, we have to unite. We have to show these people that we're together. You know, we cannot let the pastors be going behind our back, you know, and having secret meetings, you know, against what we're doing when they supposed to be for us and out here with us and standing for what's right. They in the back room trying to make a deal.
Yep. You said, and still trying to get
the pastors, the leaders did this to us, and we can prove it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I'm saying to you, Pastor Pinckney, that, you know, thank you so much for allowing me this opportunity because, you know, if it ever been a time for us to wake up and get it, you know, all the signs, I mean, with flashing red lights, that we have missed it.
Yeah.
Because we got a president that don't care nothing about what's right. and especially when it comes to black people.
There you go.
We have so many things going on in our world right now, not to even mention the COVID-19. But all these crazy, I mean, just hideous things that's happening in our country. You know, I just heard that something happened there in Benton Harbor where you had some kids just randomly driving up and down the street shooting.
Yeah, you got that.
For what? I mean, have they not realized that the criminal justice system is a trap?
Amen.
That going to prison and going to jail is a death trap?
Mm.
You
yep.
know, and Pastor Pinckney, I mean, let's keep it real. You know, I remember when my grandmother would come in the room and she would just tap on the door and just make a real soft tap and she'd say, "Wake up." Everybody had to jump up out the bed. You couldn't lay back and pull the covers over your head. You had to jump
no.
straight up and wake up right then and there. Because if you didn't wake up, what was coming next, you wasn't going to be ready for the deal with it.
That's right. That's right.
So what is it going to take for our people to wake up, Pastor Pinckney? Because it is a crying shame. They ought to be ashamed of themselves. I mean, this is a disgrace to the human race and especially the black people in this world today. You mean to tell
mm-hmm.
me you still walking around in a daze, drowsy, still asleep on what's happening on this watch? On Donald Trump watch, on the police brutality, and all
Man.
This craziness that's going on in the world, you still sleep? You still running around talking about, look what they doing, what about me, myself and I, me, my phone, and no more, what you gonna do for me? What is wrong, Pastor Pinckney?
Well, you know, one thing about, let me give you an example. Top Nails here in Benton Harbor. They have attacked four black ladies. All four black ladies go to jail, even though this lady and this man jumps on them. And I put out an email on Facebook, and I told the girl not to shop at Top Nails. And she answered me by saying, "I spend my money wherever I want. if Kevin and at the Korean shop want to jump on somebody, they can jump on me. But I'm gonna spend my money where I want to, and don't tell me where to spend my money." And I have to say, well, that's a true statement. I can't tell you, but you know, your day is coming, and that's the thing that you know we have to tell people. When their day comes, then they'll see the big picture. They're not gonna see the big picture until their day comes. So that's how it is, Belinda Parker Brown.
Pastor Pinckney, on that note, I got to say this, and then I'm going to have to let you go. But, you know, I was talking to my grandson. You know my grandson, Joe. He's 17 now.
Yeah.
He's
wow.
my oldest grandson. And,
yes,
you know, his birthday is October 1st. He's going to be 17, October 1st. My
mm-hmm.
birthday is October 5th. But
mm-hmm.
I told him, I say, Joe, do you know what hell looked like? And he said, "No, Mama."
Uh-huh.
I said, "Okay, well, do you want to find out what it looked like?"
Uh-huh.
I said, "Because it's going to be a surprise to you."
Uh-huh.
Because, and that's what Pastor Pinckney, that's what people, it's going to be a surprise when they day come. It's going to be a surprise to them. Because you always said it, Pastor Pinckney, it's going to happen sooner or later.
There you go.
And a lot of people don't want to do nothing until it happened to them. But it's too late.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's too late, Pastor Pickney. So on that note, you know, Banco in Benton Harbor, Michigan, is the most powerful organization that everybody needs to join up and be a part of. When they have a real, true, bona fide leader like yourself that is for the people, it's undeniable. It's unrefutable. And everybody know it, even the powers that be. That's the reason why when you step foot in that courthouse, they start trembling and shaking.
There you go. And that's
they
why
can't
they like
stand
it, just like it
you coming because they know you the real deal. Something is about to go down, like you said. It's going
yeah.
it's going down
it's going
whether
down.
They like it or
that's
not.
That's right. That's right. Ain't nothing they can do to stop it. Thank you so much, Melinda Parker Brown. Love you. And tell the family, I say, hey, tell them that we love you. We love that whole family of yours. And I'm hoping that, you know, you guys stay safe. And we'll talk soon.
You know, I want to give you an update on probably next call, Pastor Pickney, on what's happening here in Louisiana and wake of the COVID-19 inside of the prison population. We got some great things going on here. And we got just getting ready to launch our working group. So hopefully next week I would be able to give you an update on to save lives inside of our prisons and jails here in the state of Louisiana. Thank you.
All right, girl. Take care of yourself. That was my good friend, Belinda Parker Brown, is going down. Now I got to bring in my good friend, Denise Johnson. We got to talk about her. We got to talk about her son. We got to make sure we keep the name Gregory Johnson out there so people will know, because a lot of times they say we run fast, but we don't run long. And Miss Johnson has been running for a very, very long time. I'm so proud of her. And she's tough. She's tough. She, you know, she ain't holding you up, and I really appreciate that. I wish we had 1,000 Miss Johnsons running around here, but unfortunately, we only got one. Miss Johnson, are you on the air? Talk to me.
Yes, Reverend Pinkney. Thank you for having me back again. You're truly a blessing to Gregory, who killed Gregory Johnson Jr., our campaign and justice for Gregory Johnson Jr. My son Gregory was killed November 22nd, 2008, in the Sigma Chi fraternity house on San Jose State University grounds. Now, mind you, this is a state university run by your taxpayer money, okay? My son was murdered, and his murder was called a suicide. They claimed he hung himself with a 14-gauge orange extension cord and that he had abraded furrows on his neck. I was never given any pictures from the coroner's office. We filed a FOIA. This was investigated as a hate crime by the FBI. The Clear Lake, California, and NAACP called them, and it went through Ben Jellius's office in the NAACP in D.C. I'm pretty sure Obama knew about this, that Joe Biden knew about this. I know Kamala Harris knew about what happened to my child. They had no evidence of a hanging. My son had, when I got his body to the coroner's office, to the funeral home from the coroner's office, I wasn't allowed to view his body at the coroner's office. He had a 6-inch crack on the back of his head, which I took pictures of. So when you see pictures online, those are pictures that I took myself, me and my husband, went into the funeral home with cameras. We knew our child didn't kill himself. He had everything to live for, and he was eliminated. Okay? He had A's and B's in kinesiology. He wanted to be a sports medicine doctor. He was looking at an internship with the Warriors. Okay? He was a personal trainer at Bali. This boy had everything going for himself. He came there a scholar, and they hated him because of that, okay, because of his black excellence, all right? He had everything going for himself. He was good-looking, and he had his heart was right, He was counseling those children at the university. He was a licensed ordained minister of the gospel. And Reverend Pinckney, I sent you a piece of the part of the FOIA. We only got 10 pages back of a Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We only got 10 pages back of a 300-page FBI report. And yes, it was investigated as a hate crime, because that's what it was. It was, there was no suicide. There was, and they knew it, and they lied about it. And the police covered it up, the San Jose City Police, the university police, and they threw the case out because of the statute of limitation. Well, there was no statute of limitation on this case, first of all, because it was murder. Okay?
That's right.
Second of all, I filed with the independent auditor in 2009, okay, to get results. And they took their time about it, lied about it, wishy-washy it around, because they were protecting the rich. They were protecting the rich. In the piece of paper that I sent you, the FOIA, it was 10 pages that they sent me out of a 300-page report with no pictures, with no CVs. In the 10-page report, if you see that, one of those papers said exemptions that were given to me. In other words, the reason why I couldn't get the entire report. And the first statement on there was that I was told was that it was because it was a matter of national security. It's on that paper. Except, see, now we got the coroner's office saying that the pictures I had, they gave me. They never gave me a thing. See, these people lie and squirm around and murder and hide and cheat, you know, and a lot of them are doing it under the guise of supposed to be helping you. They're supposed to be the government officials that come in and help you. And they're lying.
Yep.
They're absolutely lying. They lie.
Yep.
They lied about Gregory. And Gregory wasn't the only one. And I also sent you the appeal that we wrote, because if I had have gotten all of the paperwork that was due me, I wouldn't have had to write an appeal, now would I?
That's right.
I appealed to them, and they ignored it. They ignored it. Now, and in that report, it says that the pictures that I gave them were autopsy pictures. And they were not. It's obvious. Mm. There's a difference between an autopsy picture and a picture you take yourself.
That's right.
It has a number. It has a it has a number on it, a case number. It has the name of the person on there. My pictures had none of that. But if they were, okay, my pictures show. You can't hide a picture. A picture don't lie. My picture shows the 6-inch crack on the back of my son's head. Okay? And it shows where they cleaned it up and tried to stitch it up before we got there. But how would I not notice my own child, the child that I gave birth to and raised to go to college so they can send him back in a coffin?
Mm.
Now, that's not what I raised him for, but that's what they
absolutely
did. Okay, they know the pictures tell the story. My son had a crack on the back of his head, and his neck was broken all the way through. There were no abraded furrows on his neck, period. Nothing to indicate that he ever hung. And you could try to hang yourself with a shoestring, and it's going to leave a mark.
Absolutely.
Let alone a 14-gauge extension cord. I am pleading for an attorney to come forth who is bad, big and bad enough to stand up without being paid off, because our last attorney just did nothing, did absolutely nothing, except meet with the other side before the trial, so you know what that means. And it actually did not, it didn't go to trial, now it was a hearing, okay? He met with the other side before the hearing, okay, and something, I guess he made a deal with them, because I can't even find him now. We're pleading for an attorney. We need people to get involved, because Not because just because Gregory died. Yeah, he was one soul, and we're losing many, 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 okay, at this time. But because you can send your, you can raise your child, pack his clothes, which is supposed to be a joyful time, which was for us, and send him away to college. And then he can get around the wrong people and get killed. This could happen to your child.
Absolutely.
And like I said, it's happened before down there. They're getting away with murder at San Jose State University in San Jose, California. Thank you.
All right. Listen, let's stay focused on this, and let's see what we can do, because it's crucial that we come together, unite. There's strength in numbers. Let's stand and fight. I want to let you know, Ms. Denise Johnson, that I'm with you 100%. And I do have a lot going on that I'm trying to do down here. But I'm going to fight these people, and I'm going to stand with you back-to-back until we get some justice for Gregory Johnson. And on that note, I want you to have a good day, and I want to keep it out there. And every week I want you to at least say something about him.
Thank you.
So these people understand how serious this is. Ms. Johnson, let's talk soon. All right.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye now. Let me bring in my good friend Lee from Detroit, Michigan. The one and only. There's only one Lee. There's not two Lees in this whole world. There's only one Lee. And, hey, and he definitely got a story to tell. Lee, are you there? Talk to me.
How you doing, Reverend? How you doing today?
Man, I'm just rocking and rolling and rolling and rocking and trying to get justice for us and everything. It's been very, very difficult because it seems like they always pull a rabbit out the hat. You know, maybe it might be, even be a three-legged rabbit, but they got one. You know, they constantly doing stuff and the only reason it can happen this way because we don't understand that there's strength in numbers. You see, that's where we make our mistake. There's strength in numbers, and I've been saying this for years that, you know, that if we had the numbers, we could do just about anything. We could stop them cold. We wouldn't have to worry about the court system being like it is. We wouldn't have to worry about jobs being on the job and getting fired for no reason. We wouldn't have to worry about, you know, the school system. We wouldn't have to worry about these things. And you know, I know right now, you know, how they say you in the belly of the beast. And we must do whatever we can to stop it. So talk to me. Tell me what is going on with you. Talk to me.
Well, of course, I ain't heard nothing from the courts yet, but they do got one of the guys that orchestrated this whole thing against me, one of their informers. Of course, his co-defendant that came out pretty much said, yeah, the guy is actually a serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
Something I've been saying for the last 2 years since me and you first started talking.
Uh-huh.
Well, his co-defendant actually came out and said, this guy killed a bunch of people. Y'all just don't know about it. And he's been working for the police the whole entire time.
Well, absolutely. Let me cut you off. Just one quick second. I had a girl that I knew she was an informant since 2007, but I never thought that she would be an informant against me. She tried, which here's what she tried to do. You know, I was going through the trial, right? They wanted her to get information, and I gave her some. I actually wrote out a piece of paper and told her what I wanted her to do, right? But it wasn't what I wanted her to do. I was tricking her to make sure that when she turned it over, they looked like a fool. And fortunate for me, she turned it over, and they were waiting. And then she gets mad and put on Facebook that she had the smoking gun on me. Yeah, I mean, but that's see when you know you got somebody, you know, it's, you know, you know I'm watching these people because I know how treacherous they are, you know, and I believe she even tried to wear a wire. That's why I never really talk around her. She's probably trying to get my wife to talk because she's come visit my wife trying to get information. My wife didn't know, and I didn't even let her know, you know. But she was an informant, and she probably still is today. And they paid her well. It wasn't no with no nickels and dimes. See, they thought they had the big fish when they had when they thought they had me. You know, they thought we got him. You know, we gonna sit back and wait on him. But no, it didn't turn out that way. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead, because I just wanted to throw that in about these informers. I know they're out here, and I know that, you know, you got to be aware of them because they're
out
here.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's actually a bunch of them. It's a bunch of them, especially here in Detroit. And a lot of people don't even realize it. But the most shocking part that, you know, I come to find out, one of the reasons they don't really want to pursue all of the faults that they're doing is because of how many people they actually got locked up. You know, the one informant, they sent a letter to my – now, keep in mind, this is as of 2019 that she done gave information of – it had – and I had a paper. It came straight from – they gave it to my attorney from the Department of Justice. She had provided – they said they did a senatorial search on her, and her name came up as providing 4,963 reports she gave pretty much on things that was going on. Trying to find out. The girl got a whole new name and everything. She's been around the country doing it. Well, the reason they don't want to really pursue it too far is because, okay, you happen to be an informant on my case, but the bad part about it, I just so happened to record me and you having an intimate encounter. So, which means not only is you no good on my case, you're really technically how many other people you did this to? I was just happened to be the smart one because I didn't trust the situation. So then my attorney said, you know what? She can't say nothing. But they don't want to tarnish her credibility on all these people that she'd have gave up. So now it's a situation of how do we figure out this? And now the other guys, he a serial killer. And that's with his own co-defendant on his current case, which technically they could have avoided this murder, the murder of Christian Moore, and several other murders that them happened within that time. Had they been stopped him. But, of course, they didn't. And now they got him in the Wayne County Jail for first-degree premeditated murder, felony murder, three counts of felon in possession of a firearm, and an attempted carrying a concealed weapon.
He may walk on all of them.
Huh?
Did you know that he may walk?
Well, they got that. Well, they remanded him to the county jail.
That don't mean nothing. They go in there and demand that he be released and have him to hire him to kill somebody. That's how they operate. That don't mean nothing.
Well, it's because they've been knowing what he was doing.
Yeah, they've been. They probably know all. Everybody he's been killed, they know. And this. Remember, I think when we first talked, I was telling you how it's not just Detroit. But it's the detective department in every major black city. They have what they call, they have all these dead bodies that have not been that has not been assigned to anybody. And if you're a drug dealer, they'll give you one of these bodies and have the person that actually killed the person come in and testify what happened. Thomas said they were an eyewitness to what you that you did it, and you go into prison. Especially in the world that we live in today, your butt going to prison if the person that killed them or anybody come in and say they saw you killing or shooting somebody at the time. You may not even been there at that time. It don't make no difference. But everybody don't understand this system and how it works. These folks is treacherous and liars. They lie, they cheat, they kill, and then they pat each other on the back and compliment each other for their lies. And we accept it.
That is very true. I mean, when you really look at, I mean, this goes back to the COINTELPRO. It goes all the way back, you know, to them from with William O'Neill, him setting up Fred Hampton and Mark Clark. This is just a newer version of it, and it's still going on. Ain't really nothing different with it. You know, they know what's going on.
I'm telling you this. You got to have numbers dealing with these people because these folks don't care about nothing. The only reason I'm here today, because I had numbers. These folks don't, they don't care about you. They don't like you. They don't want you around. And when they get ready to put you before a all-white jury, even with no evidence, they will convict you. Twice I have been before an all-white jury, and twice they have convicted me to have it, and I had it overturned. I've been so fortunate that, you know, that things been, you know, because I fight. See, when you fight everything, you win. These folks, you know, they so used to you not having the resources to fight, and that's why we lose. And then people like, here, all the preachers came against me. They came against me. You know, they wanted to join the white folks so they could put me away, and they thought it was all right. These flying balls, you know, they didn't know who they was up against. And I gave them all a buck whooping from the preachers on down. I think they put, you know.
Well, see, you know, that's, they scare a lot of people into going on their side.
Right. Well, and why should you be afraid? If you're a man of God, ain't no reason for you to be afraid. You can't be a man of God if you're afraid. How you going to be afraid of another human being? Whatever you got for me, bring it on. That's how I look at it.
But see, and that goes to show you that many of them is not any type of man of God, because when you allow them, you know, one of the things they really, I'm going to be honest, they don't like me, Reverend Pinkley, because one thing about it, I pray every day and I count on the Creator.
Mm-hmm.
Grant me the strength not to fold in front of these people.
Yeah.
And they didn't expect me to fight this long. This is over 2 years. I asked for a speedy trial.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, whatever they got, you know, let's tell them to bring it on. Let's do what you got to do. But remember, take your time, because you up against some evil, wicked people that would lie, cheat, steal, kill, anything, and give you a body, whether you like it or not. On that note, though, I got to let you go. We have just ran out of time. Next week, same time, same station. Take care.